Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Bring Penny home right from daycare, and she always wants to watch TV, and she usually wants to watch Yo Gabba Gabba, which I can't stand anymore.
It's awful.
It's actually a pretty good kid show, but I've seen it so many times, like every episode, that I can't handle this anymore. It's a very hipstery kid show. Like, they get, you know, hipstery bands like Of Montreal or The Shins to come on and like play like kiddie music.
I don't even know what those are.
The Aquabats. Do you know who the Aquabats are?
Nope.
Oh, well. They were big in the 90s. But there was a... they go on and they sing, like, kiddie songs, which is fun, and Penny likes dancing to it, but I can't watch it anymore. I'm just like, I'm done with kid shows.
I mean, it is called Yo Gabba Gabba.
It's... You know what? You'd watch it, and you'd be like, if I was high, this would be amazing. And then I put on Adventure Time, because that's on right at 5 o'clock, right when I get home with Penny. And she's like, ah! You know, she puts it on, and she likes watching it. And then right after that is... regular show, and it's like, oh, this is so perfect for right when I come home. And I you are right, it's like the stuff with the lich is really cool.
Yeah stuff with the lich is really cool, and regular show has the best soundtrack of a cartoon ever.
It does it pretty good. I was actually listening to it, and it had Duran Duran on there.
Yeah, there's like I saw an episode with Queen. There's Duran Duran. It's like just a hardcore 80s soundtrack.
Yeah, the Duran Duran.
Lover Boy.
Lover Boy sucks. No, the they had a Duran Duran on, and I'm like, is Penny dancing to Duran Duran? Like, she is. No one dances to Duran Duran. I had to yell at my 2-year-old daughter for dancing to Duran Duran. Anyway, welcome to Game Classy.
More like Sick Classy.
Yeah, Steve is sick this week. And speaking of which...
Aren't you sick too?
I'm Joe. And with me, as always, is the AC Slater to my Zach Morris, Steve.
Was that a Saved by the Bell reference?
When I wake up in the morning and...
No.
You don't want to sing?
No
singing?
Definitely not Saved by the Bell.
No,
Saved by the Bell sucks.
Oh. How about, here's the Carlton to my Will, Steve.
All right, now I'll definitely take that.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. Na-na-na-na-na-na. The Carlton baby, that's going to come back.
All right. I like how we're once again recording in the early wee hours of the morning. And by wee hours of the morning, I mean for Steve, it's 11 o'clock.
Oh, man. I was nude and sleeping nary 8 minutes ago.
Just wait. You have kids and then you're up like, it's like, oh, man, it's 4:30 in the morning. Why am I awake? Oh, yeah. It's because I went to bed at 8:30.
Hopefully I am not burdened with such a burden.
Yeah. I woke up this morning, I was like, well, I'm not going back to bed. Woke up and just wandered back in. So anyway, we got Steve whipped out his AD&D second ed manuals.
Look at that baby.
They
just
do
look at it.
They're really, really swanky. I was looking at them over at the local gaming store, the LGS, and I was relatively impressed with them. You like them?
Oh yeah.
So when are we gonna run a dungeon crawl?
Oh, I don't know.
You got to get something together.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get Pat B. Pat B is gonna play a wizard.
Does he want to play a wizard?
I don't know. We'll make him play a wizard.
All right. Well, he's got to roll. You got to roll stats.
I want to be a dwarven cleric. Can I be a dwarven cleric?
You got to roll your stats first to see if you can be a cleric. I mean, you only need wisdom 9, so you'll probably be fine. there's requirements to playing the classes in this game that you have to roll.
What would my alignment be?
You don't have to roll your alignment.
I know, but what would you make my alignment?
Your alignment's based on your deity. Okay. So we'd have to see which one you wanted to follow.
Ah, okay.
And we'll most likely be using ability score generation method.
Let me tell you this. I've never actually played AD&D second with my own character. I've always given a pre-gen character.
I've done a lot, and I think I'm going to use method 4.
What's that?
Something I've never done before.
Ooh.
Does
it involve nudity?
No. Method 4 is you roll 3d6 12 times.
Okay.
Which is basically like a double character.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put those stats where you want them.
Okay, yeah. That's how I think third ed ran a little bit similar.
So you roll 12 stats, and then you assign them where you want.
If I can remember correctly.
Well, in third edition was 4d6.
Okay.
Discard the lowest.
Lowest.
6 times, and then assign that.
Okay, yeah.
Now, 4d6, discard the lowest, you get a little bit
buffer characters, I guess.
Yeah.
I think this 12 will be pretty good. And I think I might do something like no more than 118 and no more than 13.
Here's my only concern. Will there be owlbears in this campaign? In this dungeon crawl?
It's highly likely that there will be owlbears.
Damn it, what a stupid-ass monster.
Dude, owlbears are deadly as shit. You don't mess with them.
I prefer just... I would want you to do a whole campaign where our party just fights birds that have arms.
Birds with arms?
Yes.
That could be dangerous.
It could be very dangerous.
I mean, it's funny you mentioned that because I believe the first enemy in the monster manual is a bird with arms.
Oh, the Arakakra. Yeah. I think that's something my daughter actually says whenever she poops her pants.
Oh, man.
Kids humor.
That's humorous indeed.
I have all my books.
Look at that.
It's
look at that owlbear.
It's not scary to me. I just imagine it coughing up giant pellets filled with rabbits.
Dude, he's got 5 plus 2 hit dice, 12 movement, 3 attacks. He's a lot of damage right here.
And a partridge in between.
I mean, the owlbear attacks prey on sight, always fighting to the death. Always, which means you can't break his morale and have him run away.
Oh.
So, yeah, don't mess around.
Does he still get salmon, or does he hunt salmon? Like, does he go for honey, like a sort of a Winnie the Pooh character?
I don't think they really go for honey. But they do live in mated pairs. So,
so you have to fight two of them?
There's a good chance you're going to be fighting two. Well, actually, according to this manual, the number appearing is 1 or 2 to 8.
What?
So imagine fighting 8 owlbears.
Oh, man. They would deafen me with their hooting.
And also, you know, murder you.
And murder you. All right, so we got some other stuff to talk about. You're back into magic again.
I'm back in, baby.
After all those years of saying, I'm never getting back into magic.
That was too expensive.
They pulled him back into magic.
Nothing I could do about it.
Nothing you could do about it.
I couldn't stop.
They're forcing you to play magic.
I couldn't stop it.
So are you excited about getting into magic?
I am.
What's your record so far?
I have yet to play in a tournament, so...
You're going to play in one tournament, and you're going to be like, fuck this shit.
Or I'm just going to crush. We'll see. I'll probably get destroyed. I assume the first couple tournaments while I'm essentially relearning the ropes, I'm going to be hammered repeatedly.
It's like you're getting back in the ring. Like I was talking outside with you about it. You're like Rocky in either Rocky 2, 3, or 4. Or even 5. Maybe even Rocky 6.
You know, maybe before I go, I should have you come by and I'll put on Hearts on Fire.
Hearts on fire, strong desire.
And I'll just...
That is the most homoerotic soundtrack
I'll get
of all
more
time.
Oomph.
And it's so good.
Whatever he punches, he destroys.
I must break you.
Yeah, so...
If you can catch a chicken, you can play a mox.
There you go.
Get him, Rock.
I'll
sit in your corner with like a little hat on the top of my head, you know. Come on.
I've been playing drafts again on Magic Online as more practice, and that's been pretty fun.
Well, I can't.
I just won one last night.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Were you like, yes, in your face?
I was pretty excited.
Did you call him?
I kept getting destroyed, and I was just like, ugh. And then I finally drafted a deck. I'm like, this is a good deck. I've drafted a good deck, and I won. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
Well, that's good that you have that coming back for you. You got something to live for now.
Yeah, it's excitement.
No more of this morose, suicidal tendencies. You have something to live for. Some magic.
Magic. There's magic back in my life.
Exactly. What's the latest set called?
Dragon's Maze.
Is that from the Mirrored?
No, that's from Ravnica.
Ah, Ravnica. See, I'm trying to learn, Steve.
I'll never learn.
No, I will never learn. Nor will I ever care. I don't know. Like card games, as I've said before, too abstract for me. Like they're like, well, that's your character you're attacking with. And I'm like, it's just a card. There's no figure saying that I'm attacking with him.
Ah, there's a banana going into my mouth.
I floop the pig.
Dude, that episode is so good.
it pretty much is, just because he was like, oh no, my cornmen!
Yeah, my cornmen. The pig eats them.
It just made a lot of sense because that's kind of how it goes when you're teaching someone. It's like they're either going to be terrible and they have no idea what they're doing, or else they're just going to rock you and you're going to be
savant
like,
you.
I've been playing this game every day of my life for the last 30 years, and this guy just walks up and destroys me. So I'm glad you're back into the magic.
Yeah,
but let's go into some other news.
Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition news.
What other Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition? You want to talk more about Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition?
I kind of just want to just read Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd
Edition. You just
want to
read the book again?
Yeah, I just want to. I want to actually just read the book cover to cover and have it recorded on the podcast.
Okay, is Cthulhu in the Monster Manual?
No.
No? No old ones?
No.
No? No. Oh, that's kind of sad.
No. No, it's not sad. You should not be fighting the old ones with your D&D party.
Why not?
Okay, here's how it goes. Joe.
Yes?
You're dead.
Oh.
Or, Joe.
Yes?
Your character's insane.
Oh.
There you go.
I need a heal. Someone need a heal.
Heal, please.
Heal, please. Heal. Heal, please. I was on the Facebook page, which I normally don't go to, but I was intrigued by this one. This one stat. You put up the top 10 tabletop gaming Kickstarter projects as of May 20th, 2013. And indeed. I thought it was pretty interesting because I wanted to talk about a couple of them. Starting in number 10, or let's just go from the top down. The top one, of course, is still Reaper Bones.
Yep.
And we've talked about that. That's a great one. Zombicide Season 2, which actually just ended last month, I think.
Yeah.
As the number two one, it's $2.25 million.
Yeah.
Then Kingdom Death, Dwarven Forge Game Tiles also just ended. That's number four at almost $2 million. Number five is the Robotech one that just ended.
Yep.
Number six, Sedition Wars 7 Myth, which is cool. I wasn't that interested. I just wasn't into the design style of it. It was very anime-ish. The Ogre game, which was, of course, the first one that made the big splash.
Ogre.
What, you guys playing Ogre? You guys talking about Ogre?
Still isn't out yet.
Still is not out yet. It actually, it's been over a year now. Just over a year. It ended May 11th, 2012.
Yep.
Relic Knights and Zombicide. But something that did catch my eye on this, and it was something that they're kind of talking about with other things with Kickstarter, too, and I'll get your opinion on it. It would be interesting. There's like a big push right now against mainstreamers using Kickstarter for their projects. I think the whole thing started off with Zach Braff, star of TV Scrubs, funding his new movie through Kickstarter. And there's
Scrubs is bad, and I'm sure that guy is also bad.
Okay. Well, anyway, besides that fact, he's a relatively well-known guy. He put out the movies Garden State, and he's funding his new movie project. So he puts it on Kickstarter, he makes a ton of money in the first day, and he gets a lot of backlash from people saying, this isn't for a way for you, for a person who's established to get funding. You could find funding in another way of doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find backers and do all this stuff, like Zach Braff we're talking about right now. So Cool, I'm talking about for Cool Mini or not, because they put Zombicide Season 2. Did Zombicide Season 2 need to be on Kickstarter? I'm asking you.
Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
Well,
I know you felt, aside from your feelings about the game, do you think it needed to be on Kickstarter in order to be funded?
I'm of a mind, if you get money, yes.
Okay.
Like, you get funded, so yeah, you needed it on Kickstarter because it's a whole bunch of free money.
Well, here's my way of looking at it, and let's see, you know, maybe you feel a little differently about this. Zombicide Season 2, there was no reason for that to be on Kickstarter. They knew they were going to sell it because of how well Zombicide, the first one, did.
Well, they used Kickstarter as like a pre-order
system. Yeah, a pre-order system. But we've talked about this before with people putting out shit tons of Kickstarters, and it's kind of spreading the money thin. Like, that shouldn't have been on there. People are going to buy that regardless. The funding that could have went to something else that was kind of coming up could have went to that instead of Zombicide Season 2, which was automatically going to be a success. Cool Mini or not, that was not a gamble for them.
Right.
That was
they would have lost the $2 million in pre-sales they got from the Kickstarter.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that in terms of the actual business and in terms of the actual like community and you know person buying it.
Totally unnecessary.
That's what I'm saying with it, is like, did that need to be on there?
You know, generally you put things out that are an unknown
Like
quantity.
Torn Armor, for example, they made their funding just barely, but it was a great game that came out of nowhere and it didn't have like an established backing to it. That's what Kickstarter is designed for.
I mean, and even though it's Cool Mini or not, and they have a pretty good, you know, financial backing, if they wanted, if they put up a new game, you know, if they put up something or like say Confrontation, say they throw a Confrontation on the Kickstarter. That's you know, it's not, it's an established game, but it's not. You know.
No, it's like what they did with, what Protoss did with,
Mutant Chronicles. Mutant Chronicles are the words you were looking for.
I'm looking for Chronopia, sci-fi Chronopia is the word I'm looking for. Warzone, that's the word I'm looking for.
Warzone.
But Warzone had been out of the market for a long time. This company wanted to put it out there again. And in order to get all the cool stuff that they wanted to put out, they put it on Kickstarter.
Well, that, and I think there was a little bit of a, will people want this game?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's Warzone. I listen to Game Class. See, they make fun of it all the time.
And then they pull it out and it's like, people really wanted
Warzone. Like, unbelievably wanted Warzone.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Is like,
I'm hoping Dark Age is a Kickstarter.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Well, Dark Age is... They're put out through Cool Mini, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it would be interesting to see. I mean, I know it would make it just because... You know, I go to my painting blogs and everything else, and I see the Dark Age stuff pop up here and there, especially the new guys, the Aztec guys.
The
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puff guys. Like, they get a lot of attention on the painting blogs just because people like painting.
Yeah, people really like painting the Dark Age minis.
Yeah, the, you know, it's a little old school. The figures are still metal. Most of them are still metal. Some of them are resin-y.
Yeah, they've got a few resin guys.
Yeah, so they... You know, there's a little feel to that. People really enjoy painting metal enjoy painting metal more than resin and resin more than plastic. So there is a little bit to that. So especially the guys who like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you for one thing, painting plastic just gets really obnoxious after a while.
I'm super excited about the new edition.
Yeah, I saw your new cards and I was just like,
Yeah, and how they're doing it is just, how they're presenting their new edition is kind of unreal. It's free rules.
Yeah.
You can pay for the rule book. If you'd like, you can buy the cards, the new cards, if you'd like. Also, everything available for free online, as well as having a trade-in system for your old rule book. Mm. So you can take your old Dark Age rule book, your old Forceless book, and I don't know if they're going to do a mail thing, but Dark Age is at every convention that Cool Mini or Not is. So I assume if I head over to any Minis convention where Dark Age is there, I can bring my Dark Age rule books and say, I want to trade these in for the new ones. And they'll be like, here you go, sir. Enjoy.
It's interesting. That's, you know, I'll tell you, not a lot of retailers are big on that. Especially like with just what happened with Spartan Games.
Oh, on the rule book trading?
Not the rule book trading, but the putting the stuff on the rule books online for free when you could buy it also in the store. I know that's part of the reason why Uncharted Seas has now officially been discontinued in stores all across the world.
You see, I don't think that's a big deal for a game like Dark Age because people are going to want the rule books, but Dark Age has the rule book trade-in program.
Well, So
you could trade in your rule... I assume you could go to your local game store with your old rule books and they'll trade it in for you too.
Well, that's the... The issue I think that game stores are having problems with is that they're losing money on that, and that's the reason why they stopped carrying Uncharted Seas and why Games had.
That's the thing that doesn't really make much sense to me because it's the rule book. Who the fuck makes a bunch of money on the rule book other than Games Workshop and their $75 books?
I know. I'm just saying that.
They can't believe the fucking rule book is $75.
That's the reason Uncharted Seas is now discontinued. That came up on the Spartan
that
blog.
Just sounds like an excuse. It sounds like the product line wasn't doing that well, and people like to be butthurt. So they're like, I'm going to be buttered about this and not carry this product that isn't selling very well, because I don't see any of them getting rid of the Dystopian Wars or the Dystopian Legions.
Well, Dystopian Wars rule books are still not available for free, and the Legions don't have an official rule
book
yet.
Even when they come out with an official rule book, whatever, does not matter. People are not going to get rid of those games because people are buying them.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. For me personally, if I like the game, I'm going to go out and buy the rule book. But we're also different than most gamers. Most gamers, you know, are very, I don't know. That's not the word.
Well, plus I just bought these.
Yeah.
These are available online
for free
everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm mentioning the AD&D second edition books.
He's stroking them gently
So,
with his hands.
And that's the thing, having the print version is just different.
Yeah. What I'm saying is there is a financial loss to your local gaming store for when they have rule books online.
Kind of minimal, but
yeah,
sure.
I'm not arguing that, but there is that aspect to it. And that's pretty much why Uncharted Seas is now being discontinued from stores.
Oh my Basically, God, that smells so good.
Yeah, it does smell pretty good. The whole I can actually hear. Can you hear it in your headphones?
I can't hear it in the headphones, but okay. It smells so good.
No, it's fine. What happened was that Spartan Games put out the Uncharted Seas rulebook for free. A lot of gaming stores and distributors got pissed about it, and they said, "Well, we're not going to carry Uncharted Seas if the rulebook's aligned for free." And
I could see having a legit argument if you're having the book available for free and you're making people get stuck with the stock. You know, if I'm a distributor and I have 24 copies of your rulebook, suddenly it's available for free, nobody wants it anymore. I'm like,
oh, fuck you.
You just shafted me with 24 copies of your rulebook.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of Spartan Games, have you seen Spartan's new modular terrain set that they're putting out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look pretty nice.
Pretty nice. Not as nice as the Dead Zone one.
The Dead Zone terrain is awesome.
You know what? My feelings about Mantic's figures, but holy shit, that terrain is nice. If you play 40K or you play any sci-fi game and you don't have that terrain, you're a moron.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Go on that Kickstarter.
It's super good.
Yeah, and it's not cheap, but it's not super expensive either. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Good. It'll work for Mercs. It'll work for Dark Age. It'll work for Infinity. 40K.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Well, we all just know Dead Zone's a ripoff of 40K.
Whatever.
To the one guy that gets really upset. It's not a ripoff! Stop saying... Well, look, everything's just a ripoff of Chainmail, so let's just calm down there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Chainmail was a ripoff of fucking...
Historicals.
No, what was the book that H.G. Wells wrote?
Oh, Little Wars.
Yeah, Little Wars.
Well, Little Wars...
It's just a ripoff of Little Wars, except everyone's got swords.
Everyone in Little Wars had swords.
Yeah. Whatever.
They ride their little horses. I don't
care. There's a couple things. One, if you're gonna produce a product and do it better and cheaper, more power to you.
Yeah.
Two, anything that takes something away from Games Workshop
in Steve's
is
book,
fucking
yes.
good in my book.
Speaking of Games Workshop, let's hit a little bit of Games Workshop news, shall we?
Did you see about the Eldar?
The Deldar?
What's Eldar, dude. The massive shafting.
To whom?
To Australia. It's on the Facebook
shocking.
Page. No, dude. The shafting is absurd.
Well, first of all, it saves money because they don't have to fight off giant spiders and snakes to get the stuff to that god-awful subcontinent.
No, that's going to be at the Games Workshop stores there.
Yeah.
The retail stores there.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be in Australia.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be at independent retailers.
Something happened, God, who knows when, that just Australia just pissed Games Workshop off.
Apparently, Tau are really bad, too. But the Tau was an issue in the States as well.
Yeah, I saw that with the Tau.
So it looks like Eldar. So it was funny. I was like, oh, looks like they're getting their advice from Wizards of the Coast. Allocation.
Allocation. The Eldar stuff, I'm not... It's Eldar. What is it, the Wraith Knight or whatever?
I don't even care.
The big Titan, the Wraith Titan.
I don't even care.
I know you don't care, but...
What I do care about is... People getting pissed at Workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, because, you know, some people do actually like Games Workshop, as I have said, you know, I people still like Games Workshop as much as you don't.
It's sad. But
I know.
True.
And I'm one of them. Well, not Games Workshop, but I like 40K and I like fantasy.
I feel for you.
I know. But the Elder stuff, it's not really exciting. They had an opportunity to redo the jet bikes, which haven't been updated since the early 90s. Still haven't done that.
My favorite thought about that is that as they're looking at their miniatures to decide what they're going to do, they look at the doofy ass bikes and the guy's just like, "Eh, good enough." And he just carries on to the next model.
No one's going to buy this. No one's going to buy this this unit that's absolutely necessary to work in your army anymore. You know, we'll just use the old ones, you know. It's whatever. I mean, they had the opportunity to fix it up. They had an opportunity to fix up some of the grav tanks and everything like that. They didn't do it. It's upsetting to me just because it's like you had an opportunity to fix something that needed to be fixed and you screwed it up. And
it's Games Workshop. When do they fix things that they're supposed to fix?
I know. The is that a custom head?
Yeah.
It's one of the what are those things called? The
Soul Grinder.
Yeah. With a custom big eye on the top.
He's going to be Nurgly.
Nurgly?
Yeah.
Is this for a customer?
Yeah.
And the...
No, it's for me.
I don't know. You're back in Magic. Who knows what else is happening? The... But the yeah, the Eldar have the big.
I will say, if I was if someone bought me an army for 40K, I would paint it, and I would have it. I would keep that. But I'm not going to buy it.
Well, that's the reason I have all my old Games Workshop stuff I'm not getting rid of, so I'm going to paint it, I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to love it. I don't have to buy a whole new army, because I have one. But as I was saying, the Wraith Titan, cool-looking model. It's just a big Wraith Guard. And it's nothing special. It's huge. It's massive, and it's $115. So more power to you there.
That's the thing. It's just like, why?
They have a flyer now. No shock there. Plastic Wraith Guard, which is nice, but it's like Eldar never, ever, ever in a million years. Eldar did less for me than Tau did. So,
well, maybe you'll be able to pick it up at your local game store if they're not sold out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's Eldar. Who, you know, not big in the carrying wise. I don't think it's going to change anything dramatically. Because Eldar weren't overpowered in the last edition, so there was no change to the gaming community as a whole. Not a lot of people were playing Eldar to begin with, and I think it'll increase the numbers, but it's not going to change anything tournament wise. So
I don't know. Maybe who knows? Who knows what they look like now? Yeah. Their book might be insane. They're probably great. Tau are like super. They sold super fast, and
yeah. Well, people like the Tau,
and people couldn't keep them in stock because they intentionally shorted their own market. I don't know.
Who knows on that end?
You got me on that.
Yeah, but the
new privateer press this week. The fucking chick on the chariot,
yeah,
Lilith. Dude, that model is so awesome. That's an army selling model, like for sure. You look at that thing, you're like, that's fucking sweet. And she looks pretty good in the game. I was worried because she's a battle engine as well as a warcaster. I was kind of worried where I'm just like, if this model dies, you lose. And it's really big.
And plus, when you play the model and you move her across the table, you can go, "Is he the slave of really do?
Windwall." She's got spells that can keep her alive, and like she's strong. It looks really good.
I know, it's a very cool model.
Very happy with that.
There's been very few models that Privateer Press has been putting out lately that I've just been like, this model sucks. They've all actually been pretty good, so I'm not. No argument there. It's like everything they put out, I'm just kind of like, oh, that's a cool looking model.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job. The only thing they need to work on is their manufacturing. But they just updated their manufacturing list. So if you've been waiting patiently for a Privateer Press model, it's been sold out at your local game store. They now have a 3-tier list of restock. They've got a core list, which is a 1 to 2 week restock, which means they're committed that every single SKU on that list will be back in stock in 1 to 2 weeks. Then I believe there's a 2 to 4. Maybe a 3 to 6, and then there's a 6 to 8.
Ooh.
So depending on what, you know, you can ask your local game store if they've been sold out of something for a long time. And I know it sucks because, like, Privateer has so many SKUs, and they're not produced in the same way as other miniatures games. They are, like, needed in the same quantities, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to keep some of them in stock. And some of the older metals, like, that aren't as popular, you know, they don't reprint them very often because they don't sell very often, even though a lot of them are, like, kind of essential to when you're starting a faction. I don't know. They're working on it, and they seem to be doing a pretty good job. We started getting...
I didn't know they were having problems with restock.
It's not really problems. It's more like delay.
It's just slow.
Yeah, so what they did is they, like...
Where's their manufacturing base out of, you know?
I think they're moving it to the States, but it's not in the States yet.
Ah.
I don't know that for sure. I don't know that for sure. I'm not 100% putting together the models. But I know that...
in their pewter mines.
One of the things is people are like, "How this is out of stock. How long is it going to take to restock it?" And they're just like, when it's done. So now they've got...
Screw you!
Yeah, well, now they've got a time frame of like, this is when this is coming back. This is when this is coming back. You know, which is nice because you can go... You know, if you order it at your local store, when your local store calls his distributor, he can ask, like, what tier is that on? You know, is that a 6 to 8 week? And then he can tell you. And yeah, it's going to suck sometimes to have to wait, but...
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Waiting is the hardest part. See, there you go.
Yeah. Actually, didn't want to interrupt you while you were on your Privateer Press rant, but there was actually
was that a rant? I think it was a rant, but when
it's not a rant, but your role. How about that?
All right.
I would give you something that we didn't talk about last podcast that I actually thought of when I was driving home. I was like, God damn it. It's a Games Workshop DMCA on Fayette, which is I've talked about.
Oh, yeah,
blog.
Your hated enemy.
He's not my hated enemy. I just think that it's like people go like, he says this is right. This is gospel truth.
He was right on a.
Well, what
few
he would
things,
do is
though,
he
yeah.
would we, at the beginning of the at the beginning of like when the rumor cycle would start, he'd put out all these fucking rumors, and then he would just whittle it down like every few weeks and say like, oh, this is right. And so at the end, you'd be like, I was right the entire time. I was like, right, no, you just. You know, you put out all the rumors.
I don't really do too much on the workshop rumor mill because I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know you don't, but I still love the fantasy stuff.
But even then, like, what the fuck's the point of the rumor mill?
I know.
Why do you care about the rumor mill?
Because I like that. It's like the same reason my wife like watching the Kardashians. I just enjoy the whole spectacle of it. The guessing, the waiting, the speculation.
The feverishly masturbating.
The feverish masturbating. I do enjoy that. And it's the same reason why I go to...
Well, who doesn't enjoy feverish masturbation?
Well, yeah, who doesn't? It's the same reason I go to, like, Tabletop Gaming News. I go there for the, you know, for previews and things like that. I enjoy looking and seeing what's coming out and kind of planning if I want to do anything.
Rivet Wars is pretty adorable, I gotta say.
Are you... Yeah, oh, that's what you're looking at in there?
Yeah.
It's the
over 2,300% success.
Chibi Dust. Jimmy Dust. It's it. I mean, I would never paint them in a million years.
Senpai Joe, the Kaiser.
Uh-huh.
And Malifax.
But let's, actually, if you're looking in there, something that I wanted to bring up was the, well, wait, hold on a second. I want to talk about the DMCA-ing of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Apparently, the reason why they got taken down was they were publishing rules or something from White Dwarf, or I don't remember what the exact thing was, but they were doing something they weren't supposed to do, and of course
they spoiled I believe it was they spoiled a White Dwarf that had rules.
Oh, that's what it was, which is a big no-no because
and as we both know, like, that fucking matters.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that bothers me as a whole. You know, Gene Simmons goes out there and says you never let them cross the line. You got to sue to protect your brand. But you know, when in your whole thing, your whole industry is based on the fans and based upon fans going out there. You know, there's certain things that you have to let go.
I think at this point, Games Workshop has learned and cemented that they can shit on their fans as much as they want.
Yeah.
And there's never the amount of people who actually go like, you know what? These guys are dicks. And stop is so small compared to the guys who are just like, more Space Marines.
Well, it's true. When you think about it, everyone loves a Space Marine, Steve.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a Space Marine.
You know what? Knowing full well they can do whatever the fuck they want means that they don't have to worry about any policy change they make. They don't have to worry about any miniature they produce or any, you know, they don't have to worry about anything they do.
Yeah.
Because their fan base is not holding them accountable. And now, yeah.
Well, in the short term, in the long term, it's gonna hurt them. And, yeah. You know.
And the other thing about that, about fan bases in general, is like you can actually be on the wrong end of this spectrum as well. Well, there's two wrong ends. So the Games Workshop is one wrong end where they don't give a fuck about their fans.
Yeah.
They will shit all over them and not care because they know they can.
Yeah.
But on the other far end of the spectrum, you've got companies that are too beholden to their fans.
Ugh.
Where there's like, you know, a whole bunch of people like complain on the forums and then suddenly something gets changed and it's like big, you know, like suddenly that game is like they're compromising their game design because of people who are like blah blah blah. The best place to be is in the center.
Yeah,
you know, like where you listen to your fans, you take feedback, and I think for the most part Privateer Press is there now, like currently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. I mean, gamers in general are a whiny group.
Oh, you're telling me.
Like, just are. Like,
we made a whole podcast about whining about games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so, you know, you've
got... It's a multi-million-dollar industry.
You sometimes have to take what they're saying as a grain of salt. So a lot of times, you have to look and try and differentiate when someone says something is broken. Like, they say, this miniature's broken. Like,
yeah.
It's totally overpowered. You need to actually look at it objectively and go, like, maybe this is too strong. And play around with it and see it. And then... You know, because like people will generally, yeah. if they lose to something, it's overpowered.
Yeah,
like, oh, it's overpowered. This game's stupid. But in some cases, they're right. Like in 6th edition fantasy, perfect example. Immune to psychology, the most overpowered rule in the game. So when you looked at a tournament, the only people doing well at the top tables all immune to psychology.
Yeah.
So it's like undead versus demons versus undead versus demons.
Look at 6th ed Dark Elves. that actually had to have a whole rule change.
Oh, dude, they were so bad.
Because of how bad they were. I mean, it's like, did anybody playtest this army?
Yeah.
Well, I think playtesting is...
obviously, they don't playtest at Workshop.
Well, that's because they have the designers designing the models that are coming. They just make it up as they go along. I mean, you...
Right, mate, we'll have a cracking good game.
Well, I mean, let's take, for example, the thing that... the most divisive thing about the High Elf release was the flying boat, right?
The refrigerator.
The people hate that design. I mean, I actually kind of like the design, but the thing is that model should not have been in that army release. There should have been something else that, and it was the designers that said, "Hey, this is something that's cool. Let's put this in the army book."
Yeah.
That shouldn't have been in there. That should have been like a plastic giant eagle box, you know, something like that, that would have been much more useful and much more flavorful to the High Elf army as opposed to what actually got released.
I agree.
Yes.
I
agree. Indubitably.
Indubitably.
So switching gears, let's, do you see the new, X-Wing of wave that's coming out?
I actually saw the new Star Trek.
Oh,
and that works in two ways, because one, I saw the new Star Trek film,
too. Yeah,
which was awesome.
So, Steve, in order to all those people who say, you guys need to talk more about games and less about other stuff, all I have to say is, what do you think of the new Star Trek movie?
I was excited to see the new Star Trek movie as much as I'm excited to play the Star Trek, what the hell is it? I can't remember. There's a tagline. It's like Star Trek, like, Strike Squadron or Strike Armada.
Star Trek
or
into Steve's anus.
It's a Star Trek minis game that uses the X-Wing rules.
Yeah, it does, and it looks, because I played that at Adepticon.
Yeah, with the giant figures.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks so good. There's fucking Romulans, Klingons, Dominion, and Federation.
Fuck the Dominion.
Eh.
It's like that Dominion and that next gen bullshit.
Hopefully there's Borg.
Yeah, like... Oh, you don't know. No, the Borg would be bullshit because it would just be one guy. It would be like the Necrons in Battlefleet Gothic. It would just be a giant cube showing up at the center table and wasting everything.
Well, you could do Borg spheres.
Borg spheres.
Yeah, I think you would just
do it. Borg bullshit.
Whatever, dude. You're just upset because you've been assimilated. Yeah, so...
I am Locutus of Borg.
So, super excited. I loved the movie. It was awesome. It was super good.
I'm
really excited about that game.
I had issues with it.
Of course you did.
Of
course you did.
I'm a big Trek head. And my whole problem is that... Okay, so spoilers, turn down your thing for the next couple of minutes if you want to talk. There was so many things that were aped out of Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, that I'm like, you don't really need to do that. You could have came up with a whole story about all those characters that were in the movie and made it so that you didn't have to. There was too many kind of nods, especially towards the end of
however,
like parallel lines and stuff like that.
I will say, I was a fan of that. I liked that.
See, but that's, they're the reason why they do stuff. Like, why can't we come up with original ideas in this day and age?
Well, because it's not an original idea. It's Star Trek.
I know, but I mean, you could come up with original ideas. Like, the whole thing, the reason why I was okay with the reboot of Star Trek is because I think there's so much they could do in that world and tell new stories.
Well, I think that's what they're setting themselves up to do, but they want to get, like, the awesome out of the way.
They want to get the awesome out of the way.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Benedict Cumberbatch, and I think you could have played...
He was so good in that movie.
But he...
I vote Benedict Cumberbatch for villain in every film.
Yeah, well, I completely agree. He's playing Smaug in the Hobbit films.
Well, the thing is like, and here's the thing... the movie is perfect for people like Nikki.
Oh, yeah.
Who just is getting into Star Trek. We're watching TNG.
Yeah.
She doesn't really like the original series. We don't watch the original series. Haven't watched any of the original series
Planet
movies.
If you go to planetarbitrary.com, I put up two columns where I basically said, these are the only episodes you need to watch of the original series. These are like the best episodes of
Amok
season
Time.
Three. Yeah, I mean, I kind of go through it. I mean, you know, City on the Edge of Forever, Amok Time,
The Menagerie.
Urena. No, Menagerie's not really that good.
It's a kind of a benchmark episode.
It's a benchmark episode, but it's not a very good episode.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
It's not the best. But then this thing, so...
Game Masters of Triskelion?
Yes. For someone who
who
does not watch the original series or watch any of the original series movies,
yeah,
all those nods are just new content
for them. New content. I just, you know, since we're recording this on Saturday, you know where I'm going tomorrow?
Where?
I'm going to the local cinema to go meet William Shatner and go watch the original Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
The Shat?
I'm going to go meet the Shat. You know, meet
him.
Is that
at Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Nice.
Me and the Shatner
show. Hollywood Boulevard's boss. If you're around the Woodridge
burbs,
area.
Yeah, the western burbs.
Woodridge or Naperville. You need to do yourself a favor and check out Hollywood Boulevard or Hollywood Palms.
Yeah.
Places are great.
They always have like pretty cool guests come in.
They've got
and stuff
cool guests. They've got good food. Their ticket prices are pretty cheap.
Yeah, the food is actually it's good. It's a Brew and View, you know, go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the food, I was so surprised the first time I got food there. I was like, wow, this food's actually pretty fucking good. I was worried at first.
The prices aren't outrageous, which is nice.
Fair.
I'm going to meet the Shatner. I might actually have him sign my Klingon Batleth.
Nice.
I don't.
Dude, you should get him to sign some Star Trek miniatures.
Some Star Trek miniatures?
Yeah, would you have called arm shit?
No, I don't have any of the Star Trek stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
No, I don't.
So I'm pretty excited to play that game from WizKids.
It actually looks better.
Under license by Fantasy Flight.
I would much rather play that than
X-Wing.
Than X-Wing or Call to Arms.
Which is why I was so excited, because I'm like, oh, I can finally play that game's sweet rule system and not have to play stupid Star Wars.
Star Wars, actually, their new wave system, they got, I believe it's the TIE Bomber, the B-Wing, and two other ships that I can't think of. I think one of them is from a...
Isn't one of them the droid or Dengar's ship or something?
It's something weird. Like, it's from like one of the... It's from the expanded universe, which is weird because, you know, how Star Wars is with the expanded universe nowadays. Doesn't exist!
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. Actually, we're going to... The next Comic Book Logic podcast, we're doing Heir to the Empire.
Lame.
What's a great... not an Heir to the Empire, Dark Empire. The comic.
Lame.
It's good.
Don't care. Star Wars,
I know.
Irrevocably tainted. Misa Tinkin used to read in Dark Empires.
If you could... No, because Star Wars ended promptly in 1998. I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Actually, I will go see the new movie.
Yeah, of course you will.
Because you kind of have to.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to leaving the theater going, that sucked.
Leaving the theater going, I can't believe Yoda was Luke's father.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah, I it's one of the things that I can't stand. I can't stand disrespect of the things that kept Star Wars alive for me, which was the expanded universe. No, the expanded universe.
Oh, yeah.
The complete disregard for Heir to the Empire and the Thrawn trilogy and Dark
Thrawn
Empire
trilogy, baby.
The video games, Dark Forces, and
yeah,
shit like that. That's the stuff.
Even the role playing game started to get some new stuff in there.
The West End role playing game was amazing.
The Wizards of the Coast one started to get new.
I wasn't
stuff
a big
well.
Fan of the World Wizards of the Coast version.
No, because it was just D&D with lightsabers.
I know, and that was a problem. It was all Jedi oriented. The West End stuff was all about being a smuggler and like being
well,
in the
originally
rebellion.
The Star Wars stuff for Wizards wasn't all about being Jedis, and then they quickly went like Jedis, and you're like now the game's ruined.
Oh, because everyone wanted to be a Jedi. If you have an opportunity to be a Jedi, you're going to be a Jedi.
Nope.
Well, I mean, most people.
Oh.
It's the reason why most people say, like, you're like, hey, you want to play any of these great mini tabletop games we got? We got Dark Age, we could be robots or robot Aztecs or, you know, robot monsters or robot dildos. Or you could play this dread ball, which is cyber football. Or you could be Space Marines, which are, you know, this thing. I want to be Space Marines! But we got all these other games.
I've heard of that.
I want to be Space Marines.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. That's, you know, and that's the reason why Steve gets angry. He gnashes his teeth and pulls his hair. So, do we got anything else that we want to talk about or that we have on the table that I'm missing?
It's Geek Pride Day.
Is it Geek Pride Day?
Apparently, it's Geek Pride Day.
Have you chewed a head off a chicken today, Steve?
I have not.
Well, there's your problem. But, so, going into a couple other things, unless you got something.
The only other thing I was going to talk about being a DM for a little while, but you can.
Okay,
should carry on.
A couple other news things then.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Just really quick. We touched on it last week about Dust Tactics being carried by Battlefront. And something I wanted to add onto that, and I didn't think about this until I was on the card either, was that part of the problem I always felt was that Dust Tactics was never properly marketed as a minigame. Because Fantasy Flight does not know how to market mini games. They just never have done it properly. They're being taken over by Battlefront, who does Flames of War, which is a mini company, so it might be very interesting. And plus the fact that Flames of War pretty much owns their own magazine.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with it and where it goes.
Because I know War Games Illustrated is Flames of War, right?
Yeah. They're really good about it, though, because they talk about everyone else's mini lines. And they never...
it's not called Flames of War Monthly.
Yeah, which is nice, because I would never, ever, 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 ever buy something called Flames of War Monthly. But I think it could be interesting for the game just to see, because I know the creator of Dust, I follow him on Facebook and everything else. He wants to get back into making Dust.
Paolo Puente?
Yeah, he wants to make more Dust. He wants to pull it back and make it a little more realistic, release more figures that are actually based off stuff that actually was in World War II. So, could be cool. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
All right. So Steve, you want to talk a little bit about DMing. What do you want to talk about with DMing?
The dark maw of the cave opens up in front of you, brave adventurers. You see glimmering lights coming from inside the darkness. What do you
Has anybody seen my phone? Have you guys seen my phone? Where's my phone at? Someone call my phone so I can find
Stop
my phone.
Stop breaking character.
I'm sorry. You know what? Just hold on. Let me go get something to drink. I'm going to go find my phone, and then I'll come back.
There's no delaying.
So anyway, what do I do? I don't know. Well, where are you going with this, Steve?
Nothing. I was just... I thought there'd be an amusing segue. Talk about being a DM. I don't know. I just kind of wanted to talk in general about DMing... like basics, maybe. Yeah. So, and I kind of wanted to touch on it. I don't want to take up too much time on it, but I do want to bring it up kind of like as podcasts go. I'm just going to bring it up again and again, like just little tips.
Like
and,
Steve's DM corner.
Right. So just like a wee tip. Now, my number one tip for DMing.
Yes.
These aren't in any fucking actual order of importance.
Steve's rule number 384 of DMing.
-2.
Stardate.
Be familiar with the system you're using. And that's the thing. A lot of people ask, like, I see a lot of people on, like, the RPG and Reddit. They're like, what's the best system for role-playing? What's the best system for cyberpunk? What's the best system for Wild West? What's the best system for sci-fi? And the answer to that question is the same for any of them. The best system is the one you fucking know.
No, exactly.
If you know a system back and forth, that's the best system game.
Let me just put it to you this way. The best DMs aren't on Reddit. They're on some Usenet group from back in the day.
No, those are the crustiest DMs. They're not necessarily the best. But, I mean, that's the thing. The system you know is the best system for any game, flat out. Because if you know the system, you can then game the system. Because the entire point of a role-playing game is gaming the system.
Yeah.
You need to know, you know, your players are expecting a certain level of rules knowledge. You're expecting a certain level of rules knowledge. And if your players aren't interested in learning an in-depth game that you know very well, you can try and present it to them in a very simple way. Just be like, Joe, roll these three dice. And you're like, what did you get?
All ones.
Sorry, man. You really botched that attack. And then you don't know why you're rolling those dice. I'm just telling you to roll those dice, but you can have a fully fleshed out and enjoyable role playing experience not knowing a single rule.
Yeah,
you don't have to know any rules to love and play role playing games well. You don't have to playing a role playing game is about ingenuity, excitement, adventure, and you know your ability to plan and like execute things. And that's another thing too. Like a lot of DMs, they get hung up on the rules. Where they're like, well, you can't technically do that because you've already used a half action to do this. And then, you know, you're not running a competitive game.
Yeah.
You're running a game that's supposed to be fun for everyone. And players, too. Players, the other issue with, like, when you come into contact with the rules, a lot of people, they pigeonhole themselves because of the rules. You know, they're like, I can only do this. So yeah. my character has sword and shield, so... Every action that guy takes is like, I block with my shield and swing with my sword. He doesn't do anything else because that's all he thinks he can do. But, you know, once you open it up as the DM, it's kind of your responsibility to...
You can parry.
Well, as the DM, it's kind of your responsibility to guide people on how to expand their ability to play. So, you know, if you see someone who's just, like, using his actions to swing with his sword, like, I'm going to swing with my sword again and again and again. You know, it's kind of your... job to like maybe one up what the opponent is doing, you know, be like, he grabs you by the shoulder, punches you in the stomach, and then, you know, lean, you know, flips you backwards over his back, and then, you know, you describe this like big stylish action that the enemy takes, and the fighter's like, how can he do all this shit? And
I have no idea.
And you're like, how did he do all that? And you're just like, and then you go, what do you do? And then maybe you can goad him into coming up with an awesome attack idea.
I floop the pig.
Those card games, not miniature games or role-playing games. So, like,
by the way, you're on a really great roll there, but you just mentioned that I saw a great webcomic of a guy. He's got like a bunch of cards in his hand, and he looks at him, and he looks up, and he looks at him, and he looks up, and he goes, "I fold," and he goes, "We're playing Dominion. You can't do that."
Nice. So, yeah, best system. System, you know. And then if you want to learn a new system for whatever reason, try and make sure it's a simple one, because like there's a lot of systems out there and there's a lot of complex systems out there. And I think personally, this is probably a personal taste, I think the most complex system I want to go with is Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition. That's the highest level of complexity I want in a game. You know, because most of the time you want it to be simpler.
I was going to say, AD&D 2nd Ed is not super complicated.
It's not. And that's what that's the level of complexity you want, because I want to keep the pacing fast.
D&D has never actually been a very complex system. 4th Ed actually, though 4th Ed plays more like a video game, there's like the stupid rules that are added onto that.
There was a lot of shit to keep track of with 4th Ed.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a daily power, that's a, you know, a one-time only power.
Yes,
you know,
tons and tons of,
like that.
You had to have a stack of cards to play your character so you could be like,
well, you had to have a mini, and you had to have maps and everything else. It was just like, this is too fucking much. I just want to floop the pig, man. I just want to have my halfling character wander the streets of this magical city of Kalimor or whatever it's called at the time.
That and as another thing of knowing your system is, know if you're running a module, know your module.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, you have to know that thing back and forth, sideways.
There are no,
and have the ability to go around what your players do, because they once that module hits contact with the players, you need to be able to make it seem like you're not railroading them while you're railroading them super hard.
Yeah. It's like there are no gnolls in Ravenloft. You gotta know that.
That's true. There's no orcs.
There's no orcs in Ravenloft either. I don't even think there's halflings in Ravenloft. No, there are halflings in Ravenloft. They're called something different though.
Yeah. And I think there actually are gnolls. I think they're in, but they're not in where Strahd is.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
There's no orcs at all on the plane.
By the way, speaking of like Ravenloft-ish things, I know we're on that. We'll go back to it. Super Dungeon Explorer has like a Ravenloft expansion coming out. That's kind of cool. It's not Ravenloft. It's like,
you mean the Castlevania one?
Yeah, it's like
it's out already.
Yeah, is it?
It's got, yeah, there's a little Simon Belmont.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Vondrak Manor.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. I was just like, oh, that looks so cool. Yeah. As much as I don't like Super Dungeon Explorer, this looks really, really neat.
I saw it and I was just like, that's all I could think of. I was like, man, Castlevania's sweet. That's why when I picked that box up, I was like, man, Castlevania is fucking sweet. I put it back.
You're like, I'm never gonna play this.
Just made
Joe, let's play Ravenloft.
It actually sprung a 45-minute conversation about Castlevania.
Castlevania is sweet. It's a highly underutilized property and like fantasy world in and of itself. They never take advantage of it. Like, you see so much Zelda bullshit that like doesn't make any sense.
I just want to throw a really quick shenanigans thing out there about Castlevania. White Wolf, the guys who made Vampire, Werewolf, Mage, whatever, they were licensing games back in the late 90s, mid 90s. And one of the games they started doing like video game shit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the games they picked up was inexplicably Street Fighter. Like, as in, like, Hadouken!
Yeah,
Street Fighter role-playing game.
I'm aware of the Street Fighter genre.
And going back and thinking about it, it's like,
everything's better with Guile's music.
There's two things. One, why the fuck did they not do Darkstalkers, which is a horror-themed fighting game with vampire, werewolf, Frankenstein monster.
Cat girls.
Like, yeah, cat girls, titty girls, the bee chick. Why?
The bee chick.
Yeah, she was a giant bee.
I know.
Horrifying. She was awesome, though. She still had boobs as well.
Everything in anime games,
like,
has boobs.
Why did they not do Darkstalkers? And then on the other hand, why the fuck has no one made a Castlevania roleplay game?
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, I always bring up Ravenloft because I love that setting. I like the idea of the gothic fantasy world where you could still have a fantasy-esque, you know, role-playing system, but yet it's a little more updated. It's a little more, you know, it's Eastern European Victorian era where everyone's wearing top hats for some odd reason, even though...
What is a man? Nothing but a miserable little pile of secrets. Enough talk. Have at you.
But yeah, that's I love that, and there's not a ton of games that take place there. I mean, you know, they got a... You could do some stuff for like call. You could do some Cthulhu-esque stuff in that era. Empire of the Dead is a mini game that takes place in that era. Mm. You know, there's a lot of steampunk stuff, but I don't want to fucking play steampunk all the fucking time. I don't want some guy going, "Well, I pull out my monocle that can see through walls." No, fuck that shit.
You want to have your motherfucking whip?
I want to have a whip, and I want to go
have the vampire killer.
I want to throw crosses like boomerangs at people. That's what I fucking want to do.
Throw the holy water.
Yeah,
but the anyway. Daggers.
Yeah, you got to know. Yeah, know your module is a
it's a big one.
It's a huge one. I've never actually played too many modules. So, and most of the guys, and I like when I played D&D, it was very early in my role playing career. So, you know, by the time I was actually running DM stuff myself, I only ran for Star Wars, for the Western Star Wars stuff. So,
depending on the module, I either like using pre-gens to do modules, or I just like pick and choose parts from modules and put them in a, you know,
in a campaign. Yeah, that makes sense.
Although I think I want to try, not for you and Pippi, because you guys are probably just going to play like a one night or two night session, which will definitely happen. We'll do Tomb of Horrors, like I said.
We'll get a third person. We'll get someone else
killed left and right.
We'll get someone in.
All right. You guys will probably have like two characters each, probably.
Yeah. I won't die. I'm going to make it through with one character.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, well.
This is not fucking... This is TP... I say...
Does this look like a fucking game to you?
TPK, 15 minutes.
That's 15 minutes?
15 minutes, TPK. All
right.
Fuck, now I lost my train of thought because I was like, I just got a huge boner thinking about the TPK in 15 minutes. Oh, fuck. I can't remember what I was saying.
I was watching...
Running campaign. I think for an ongoing D&D campaign, I'm going to do something I haven't done before. And like, a lot of times, I think this is my fault. And... This is another DM tip for any aspiring DMs out there is don't make your campaign so fucking big. Don't make it so grandiose. Everyone wants to have the like long super story arc, like, you know, epic, like Lord of the Rings, that kind of thing. And that's boring.
Well, everyone,
it's not boring, you know, in the sense of like, it's like it becomes predictable. People stop caring because the end goal is too far away. You know, they can't see their goal and their goal's not in sight. It's, you know, it's the trick that I'm going to be using is I'm going to do it kind of like a TV show where there's small subplots, which are your main quests. Like,
yeah.
You know, the party finds a quest, does quest over, you know, receive reward.
Yeah.
And then
push button, receive bacon.
Sort of. Yeah. And then, you know, then maybe put a little hint at maybe there's something bigger going on.
Well, that's
on.
The...
And then quests. Little hint. Quest.
I think that's little a hint. That's a really good way of doing things because, you know, I took some writing classes back when I was in college just for my major. And one guy, he actually put out, like, how to plot a TV series. And was really cool because I'd never actually seen this before. And he kind of showed this is the way that Hill Street Blues, which is the show that actually kind of started how this would go. It was like he put a big thing and it showed... like, this is, like, the overall arc of the season. It was, like, this big long bar, and he wrote, like, you know, death of someone is, like, the arc. And then he would, like, it would break it up into, like I think it was, like, 24 episodes. And then, like, 12 and 12 would be another one. And then it was, like, 6, 6, 6, 6, and then 3, 3, 3, 3. And then, you know, he'd break it down into individual episodes and show, like, how each arc would be affecting each other part. And, like, it'd be smaller arcs within there. And I'd say 6, 6, 6, 6. That's not actually how it would be. But I'm, like, that's how it would break down.
Yeah.
Into like there'd be smaller arcs within a larger arc.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a great thing to keep your players interested. You can keep your combat fresh, your storyline fresh, and the other thing too is you can if you're just running little tiny pieces of adventure rather than a giant ass one, you can abandon the current plot
if sucks.
It's not going well.
Yeah. Plus I think this is important because every fucking DM nowadays wants to be the next Patrick Rothfuss, you know, or, you know, and write The Name of the Wind or Malazan, which is all based on, both of them I think are based on D&D campaigns. And it's just like, fucking no one wants to read about your D&D campaign.
Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit.
Or go write a book. Don't inflict that on your players.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It was like, don't write that book because you shouldn't inflict what you inflicted on your players onto me, the reading public. I want to read about Game of Thrones and about, you know, Jon Snow.
There's only two more episodes.
I know.
This is fucking horse shit.
And you're not going to... Do you remember that gif? Like, it was like from Survivor. And it's these two girls and they're like holding their mouths like going...
And the guy's, grinning.
In the back grinning.
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now. Because I know what's going to happen. But the aside from that, yeah, it is horse shit.
Boners.
It's all right. I still got like 3 more weeks worth of articles I got to put out.
I still have to write some articles.
You're never going to write articles. You got to have the drive to do it. I basically only write articles to keep our numbers up so I can get into conventions for free.
Yeah, I
basically the only reason I do that.
The drive would definitely be monetarily based, and yeah, I'm not going to get paid.
You're not going to get paid. Nope. I'm not getting paid. You're not getting paid. Trust me.
You need to get some Google AdSense money going on.
Oh, no shit. All right. So that's about it for the hour. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. I have not tweeted in a long time, but that's because I've been really crazy ass busy at work, which is normally when I tweet. Too. So I'm going to start getting back on there and, you know, making fun of shit, you know, talking about how my kids' TV shows are bullshit.
You were just talking about how much you love Adventure Time.
Yeah, but I watch Adventure Time. Penny just happens to watch that with me.
I see. And regular show.
And regular
show. Yeah.
Thomas. I still think my favorite part is like, you can't touch music, but music can touch you. That just made me laugh when he said that. I was like, that's the best line I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, the show is awesome.
Anyway, go to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/GameClassy. Yeah, you can go there and complain about stuff. It's what people mostly do. Complain about us, complain about Games Workshop, complain about the state of the gaming industry, whatever. Complain to your heart's content.
Complain about complaining.
Complain about complaining. Complain about the people complaining. Complain about me. By the way, Mantic is putting out a Mars Attacks game for some odd reason. I don't know how anyone's going to be able to play that game.
With a straight face?
With impossible. A straight, impossible.
Impossible.
Is everyone going... Yeah, it's just going to be a ripoff of Gorka Morka.
What?
But the subscribe to us on iTunes or through Podbean.
Subscribe to butts.
We're Game Classy Podcast. It's all one word, Game Classy Podcast. And you'll be able to get to us that way. It'd be much easier. Okay, so Steve, until next time.
I am heading over to the Gaming Goat in Oak Park for their grand opening today.
In the burbs.
In the burbs.
Steve's going to play some magic.
Well, actually, the Gaming Goat in Oak Park, unlike the two current goats, is going to have magic, obviously. But huge focus on Privateer Press.
Interesting.
And miniatures games. They have pretty much the entire range.
Oh.
Of War Machine and Hordes.
Do you know their address? You want to plug them?
I don't know where their address is, but
I'm sure if there was some sort of magic device that we could all look at that was maybe like some sort of worldwide web of information.
Do you mean like Asulu, the Seeing Stones?
Yes. You know, something that we could go to that maybe we could just type into and say like Gaming Goat Oak Park. And we could find out what the address is.
Hmm.
You know, maybe our fans have something that's like that that they can use.
Perhaps. I don't think we have so many wizards in our fan base.
No one can see you stroking your beard right now.
But you can. Yes.
Don't use the palantir. That's the only way that Sauron can see you, Steve.
You can see. 440 South Ridgeland.
In Oak Park, Illinois.
Oak Park. Yes.
All right. So.
Wow.
So. All right. I'm ending it there.